It's good to be in God's house today. Amen. We are going to be continuing in the series of messages on building a legacy. God wants us to carry out our commitments. And we've learned that if we're going to carry out our commitments, we're going to have a fight with Satan, because he's always trying to hold us back and to hinder us in our progress of being God's people and doing what God wants us to do. So we're going to have a fight with Satan. We're also going to have a fight with all of society, because we live in such a depraved culture. We live in a culture that tries to be politically correct. And through that political correctness, it's hard for us to bring out the biblical truths from God's word, because when we do, we're a racist, we're a bigot, we're a homophobe, we're all of those phobes. And so we have a war with all of society. We're also going to have a war with sin, because sin is always present. It's always prevalent in our lives. Sin always looks like it's fun and attractive in the beginning, but it always ends up disastrous, destroying us, and ultimately bringing death. So we're going to have a fight with sin, but we're also going to have a fight with self, because we have this old sin nature within us, and being born again gives us a new sin nature, and there is this dynamic tension between the new sin nature and the old sin nature, so the things that we would like to do and need to do are not those things that we do. Paul said in Romans chapter 7, the things I want to do, I don't do, and the things I don't want to do, that's what I end up doing. So we're not alone in our struggle. If we're going to carry out our commitments, we have to have a fight with Satan and with society and with sin and with ourselves. Because God wants us to launch out into the deep. He wants us to quit puttering around the shallow shores of life, accomplishing those things that we can humanly accomplish. God doesn't ever call us to do those things that we can accomplish, because when it is accomplished, we're the ones that are glorified. God wants us to launch out into the deep and to experience His almighty hand moving, so that when we see Him do something that is humanly impossible for us to accomplish, He is the one that is glorified, amen, and not us. And all of society gets to experience God in His greatness. And when we do that, we will have to go in God's power, because God is the one that enables, God is the one that empowers us, so that we can launch out into the deep and join Him in what He is doing, so that all that He is desiring to build His kingdom may be accomplished through God's people. Well, we saw at the beginning of this year that God wants us to go into this new year knowing that we're going to experience some things that we've never experienced before. Just like the Israelites, as they were standing on the threshold of the promised land, Moses told them, the things that you're going to experience in this new land, you've never experienced before, because this is a different area. This is a new land. And there are going to be good things as well as bad things that we're going to experience. But that's all right, because we've grown. God wants us to be able to make a difference in people's lives. That's why it's important for us to have a testimony rather than a title. Because no one's interested in our title. They're interested in our testimony of what God has done in our lives. And our testimony is basically the difference that we've made in other individuals' lives. That's why He wants us to make a difference, so that we can actually have a meaningful ministry. Just like Jesus had. Jesus never ever said, I love you. But because of what He did, and his actions, he was able to display his love to his disciples and to teach his disciples how to love others and to have a meaningful ministry. Today, we're going to wrap up this series of messages. We're going to look at basic principles, basic practices that God wants us to live by. Now, when we're in God's Word, we see different principles and different practices that we can form and model into our lives. But these practices and principles are not made to replace our relationship that we're in with Jesus Christ. They are there to enhance our relationship so that we can truly be the people that God is forming in us, so that we can reflect the character of Christ in our lives. Paul had been to Thessalonica, and he was only there for a short period of time. Normally, when Paul would visit a city and start a ministry, start a church, he would start teaching the believers. Many would believe and be baptized, and he would continue to teach them theology. He would continue to teach them common practices so that their relationship with the Lord Jesus would be recognized by individuals in the community. Well, Paul was only there for a short period of time, and he had to leave for his own safety. So he sends Timothy back to Thessalonica to continue the work that he had started. And then Timothy comes back to him with all the good news from the church at Thessalonica. Now, Paul sits down and writes them this letter. And we're going through this letter of 1 Thessalonians in our Wednesday night Bible studies. But the great thing is, before he concludes this letter, he gives them basic practices to live by. Not to take the place of their relationship with Jesus Christ, but to enhance their relationship so that they will be able to walk in such a way that they will realize what Christ is doing in their lives and through their lives to minister to others. So I'd like to have you turn with me this morning to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, and we're going to begin in verse 14. Please stand with me in honor of the reading of God's Word. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, beginning now in verse 14. Now we exhort you, brethren, warn them that are unruly, comfort the feeble-minded, support the weak, be patient toward all men. See that none render evil for evil unto any man, but ever follow that which is good, both among yourselves and to all men. Rejoice evermore. Pray without ceasing. In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Quench not the Spirit. Despise not prophesyings. Prove all things, hold fast to that which is good. Abstain from all appearance of evil, and the very God of peace sanctify you wholly, and I pray God your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you so much. We thank you and praise you for who you are and all that you have been doing in our lives and through our lives. Thank you, Father, for allowing us to build a legacy, that the legacy of these individuals in this church might go on for generations to come. And Father, that all might be able to talk about the greatness of who you are and what you have done in the life of this church. Father God, we thank you. We pray that every heart will be open to receive these practices that you want us to receive today, that we might certainly know and be able to walk and realize what Christ is doing within us. and that the Spirit is so evident that we are able to follow His leading. So, Lord, we thank You. We pray that You would give us insight into Your Word. And, Father, we give You the glory, for it's in Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. You may be seated. If there are basic practices that we need to live by, I believe Paul spells out the first practice by saying patience. Patience. Now look with me, please, at verse 14 once again. He says, "Now we exhort you, brethren, warn them that are unruly, comfort the feeble-minded." I know everybody's going to come up to me today and try to give me comfort. "Support the weak, be patient toward all men." Be patient toward all men. We should have patience towards all people, amen? You can write that down in your bulletin. I know that you're looking at that bulletin, seeing 10 points and thinking, oh, we're not going to get out of here until about 8 o'clock tonight. Well, maybe. 7:30, maybe. We should have patience towards all people. The other day I was driving through the drive-thru at McDonald's for lunch, and I was behind an individual, a man, and he had a Jesus sticker on his bumper. And he was behind the lady that was at the speaker giving her order, okay? So I'm third back. I've got my window down because I'm ready to pull up and give my order when my time comes. So I'm hearing this lady, and the guy in front of me is hearing this lady, and she's saying, "Oh, could you have them just put a little bit of cream from one of those little creamers, not all of it, but just a little bit in my coffee, and with one sugar, please?" And the lady comes back and says, "Sure will. Okay, a little bit of cream and one sugar. And could you, on my sandwich, could you take off the pickles and put on a little extra onion?" And the lady says, "Yes. Okay, so you want," and she names the sandwich, without pickles, and you want extra onion. "Yes, please. And what size does that come in?" And so the lady explains the size, that you get a regular, a large, an extra large, and a whatever. And so the lady is trying to take all that in, and she goes, "Okay, well, I'll just have a regular." And I'm fine. I've checked myself. There's a guy in front of me with a Jesus sticker. Okay, so I've checked myself. And then she says, "It'll be," and she names the amount, $6.47 or something. And she goes, "Okay, thank you." And she starts opening up her billfold or something. She's fidgeting around in there, probably getting out money. The guy behind her is going, "Oh, are you kidding me? I went up there." He's just going ballistic. And I'm watching this little lady. One. Two. And the lady inside says, "Can I take your order, please?" She says, "I've already ordered. I'm trying to get my money." And she says, "Well, you can pull up to the first window and give it to me." "Okay, thank you." Three. Four. And the guy behind her, he's not in park. He's got it in drive, and he's got his foot on the brake, and he's lunging the vehicle behind her like this, like, "Hurry up, come on, hurry up." And I thought, what a testimony that is. He has no patience, and he's got a Jesus sticker on his back. That's one of the reasons why I don't have a pastor sign on my truck. Yeah, I probably need to get one of those. It's just not a good testimony. There you go. And while I'm sitting there, I'm thinking about years ago, before ministry, when I was going to, Kathy and I and the kids were going to Open Door Baptist Church. Open Door Baptist Church was probably a third this size, okay? And their business meetings would take anywhere from 2 to 2.5 hours. Oh, it was grueling. They'd talk about everything. Well, do you really think we need to put sweet and low in the containers? Anyway, they'd be discussing something, and everyone would have given their opinion, and then he was 90-some years old then. He's gone on to be with the Lord. Art Call goes to stand up. Now, it would take Art Call anywhere from 30 seconds to a minute just to stand up, because he'd have to kind of crunch up on his chair a little bit and then grab the pew and then get up. And when he'd get up, he'd be leaning on the chair, and then he'd kind of, and he'd have to clear his mind and gather his thoughts, and then Art would speak. And everybody, it was amazing. It was like E.F. Hutton was getting ready to speak. They would just, when Art started to move, everybody would just watch. And they'd wait for what he had to say. We'd have fellowships there. And as a young man, I would like to, I sat many times across from Art and his wife, Dorothy. And I had many conversations with him. He was a deacon in the church. And I said, you know, you are the epitome of a gentleman. I've never seen you riled up. And I've been here for years. And he would say to me, I wasn't always like this. I couldn't imagine. He said, but I got really tired of saying two words all the time. I'm sorry. He said, I would blow up, I would say something, I would do something, and then I'd have to say, I'm sorry. And God trained me and told me that people would have more patience with me if I had more patience with them. And it was like a moment that God gave me with Moses. Art was one of the most patient men I'd seen. I mean, even in my early ministry, when I'd be preaching, there'd be a kid squalling in the back, and I'd say, and they'd get up to take the child out, and I'd say, no, that's all right, he's not bothering me. And they'd say, oh, yeah, but you're bothering him. Patience is a virtue. The Bible actually says in Galatians chapter 5, verse 22, that the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, and temperance. That means being self-controlled, having patience. So Paul is telling them the very first thing, the very first word out of the gate, there's 10 of them, there are 10 things, practices, but you need to be patient. And there are times that I just don't feel patient. I know there's times that you just don't feel patient. But when we're not being patient, we're being the agent of Satan. Because we do things and say things, and then we have to say the two words, I'm sorry. Secondly, we see that this practice that we're to live by actually is a, secondly, practice. Notice what verse 15 says. See that none render evil for evil unto any man, but ever follow after that which is good. both among yourselves and to all men. Follow that which is good. Good fruit will be produced. It's a continual building. It's a continual growth. It's a continual practice that we follow, that we're supposed to follow good. It's hard for us to follow. That God gives us good followers and God gives us good leaders. And many times, leaders don't know how to follow. They really don't. God's given us leaders here. God's also given us followers. And many times we look at a follower and we don't respect them as much because they're not leading. Let me tell you something. It's harder to follow than it is to lead. Because when you follow, you got to keep your mouth shut. Hello? He says, follow that which is good. It's hard to always follow. Now, you've all played the little game, Simon says. Amen? You know the game. You know the rules. All right. We're going to see how well you follow. Okay? Now, I'm not going to have you stand up, sit down, stand on one leg, jump on three legs, four legs, whatever. All right, so Simon says, raise your right arm just that far. Not this far, this far. Okay? Simon says, put your right arm up. Simon says, put your arm down. Simon says, put your right arm back down. Okay, now we got that figured out. Simon says, put your left arm up. Put your left arm up. Oh, I didn't say Simon says. How many of you put your arm up? Well, I did, Bill. I was trying to mislead you. Okay, so see how difficult it is to play a simple little game. Let me tell you something. The Christian walk is a lot harder than that. It's not a little game. And we find it hard to follow a little game. Can you imagine how hard it is to follow that Paul says, follow that which is good, because good fruit produces. There's a production that takes place. Good fruit will be produced when we follow good, because when we follow good, good follows us. My mom always said to me, and I've repeated this to people, if you don't want ice cream, don't go to Dairy Queen. That's a pretty simple concept. You are who you run with. Hello? Yep. When we follow other people that are doing bad, we do bad. But Paul says we need to follow after good, because good fruit is produced. Thirdly, we also need to see pleasure. It is a practice that we need to live by. Pleasure. Church needs to be fun. Amen? It needs to be fun. Look at what verse 16 says. It says, rejoice evermore. It's one of the shortest verses in the Bible besides Jesus wept. Wow. Rejoice evermore. It means a continual building. More and more and more rejoicing. Why are we to rejoice always? Well, because God is actively working in our lives. Many times, though, we only rejoice with good things. Amen? And we don't rejoice when bad things take place. We look at good things as not having any storms in our life, not having any clouds in our life, not having any valleys to have to walk through, not having any trials, not having any tribulations. But the bad things are storms are blowing against me. It's so cloudy. I'm walking through this deep, dark valley. There are so many trials, so many tribulations. And Paul says, rejoice evermore. Rejoice always. And again, I say rejoice. Danielle, our daughter, has made one of the greatest turnarounds I believe I've ever seen, and I have counseled a lot of people. 6, maybe 8 weeks ago when we were coming back from St. Louis and she was so upset with the pregnancy and the twins and things weren't going right, and she was like a basket case, and many of you know that, all the problems that she has been going through with her pregnancy. And I had an opportunity to talk to her about how she views this, how Abraham viewed sacrificing Isaac. I shared it with all of you in one of the messages, how God is actively working, and that if we don't see what he's doing, we will look at the bad things. She's made one of the greatest turnarounds. She was in this ward, and I don't know what ward that is, but it had nice rooms. But there was a room down at the end of the hall on the corner, and since she was going to be there for a couple months, they thought they'd move her down there. Well, she was only there for a day, and then one of the baby's heartbeats took a drop, and they moved her to this ward over here where they could monitor her all the time. And they had her monitored 4 hours at a time, and she wore one monitor on herself and two for the babies. And she'd wear that monitor for 4 hours, and then she'd be off an hour. And she'd wear it for 4 hours and be off an hour, and wear it for 4 hours and be off for an hour. And that was day and night, all the time, 24 hours a day. And then they saw that the babies were doing real good, so they backed it off where she was on the monitors 2 hours and off three, and 2 hours and off three, and so forth and so forth. And then everything was really great. Last Wednesday, it was actually a praise. Hey, they're going to move Danielle back over here, and she gets the big room. Yay! She was there for 3 hours, and they moved her back because one of the babies' heartbeats took another dip. This time, they even had her on oxygen, so when I'm talking to her, she sounds like Darth Vader. She's made a tremendous, tremendous turnaround. They put her in the very next room where she was before. Instead of being on 543, she's now on 541. But the neat thing is, in 543, her bed was this way, and when she looked out the window, all she saw was that building right there. Had no view or anything. But the very next room, she's aimed the other way, and she can look out the window and see all of St. Louis. What a sight that is. I said, Danielle, tell them you don't even want to go back to that big room because it's a jinx. She says, yeah, I'm perfectly satisfied with this room. I said, that's good. That's good. Yesterday she texted me and she said one of the doctors that saw her all the time at Anderson over at Maryville, they're connected with St. Mary's, was doing rounds with her doctor from St. Mary's. And when they walked into the room, he looked at her and said, I know you. You're still pregnant? She goes, yeah. He said, man, that doesn't, if memory serves me, you lost all the embryonic fluid and all that stuff. Isn't that right? He looks at the other doctor. He goes, yeah. He says, you know, every time that happens, the mother's normally deliver in 24 to 36 hours. I've never seen one go past. And Danielle said, well, that's because God's hand is in all of this. And the doctor says, it's got to be by God's hand because that's not normal. And Danielle says, I'm going to go all the way to 34. He said, I think you will. You know, rejoice. Take pleasure in it. realize that God's doing a work in your life even when you're walking through those deep and dark valleys, when you're experiencing trials and tribulations. Rejoice evermore. Make sure it's pleasurable. Yeah, problems aren't pleasurable, but God says they can be when we rejoice evermore. When we're able to connect the dots and see what God's doing, we can rejoice that He is present, that His hand is working in our lives, and that we sense His presence. That's why we can rejoice evermore, because He will never leave us nor forsake us. Amen? Well, fourthly, it says praying. Praying is a practice to live by. Notice what verse 17 says. Pray without ceasing. Oh boy, but I got to work. Doesn't mean that you're supposed to be in 24-hour prayer. Doesn't mean that you're supposed to be on your knees and your face to the ground and seeking His direction 24 hours a day. No. It says pray without ceasing. It means to have a constant knowledge of His presence in your life. And as you have that constant presence of His life in you, you now know that He's actively working in your life. I told Danielle the last time we were up, I said, honey, you need to be journaling this. You need to be documenting this. Because what's going to happen if you don't? Years are going to pass, and as your kids are in grade school, you're going to tell them about being up here for 3 months. But it's going to be a fog. It's going to be a distant memory. But if you're able to write Tuesday, March, so-and-so, they took me back to the other room. I was only there for 3 minutes, and one of your heart rates dropped, and they rushed me back to the other side and put the baby monitor on, and put me under oxygen, and God's hand was in all of this, and your heart rate came back. Nana and Papa were up the other day. They brought Chinese food. The girls were up. They made a mess all over my bed. We just had a great time being here in the hospital waiting for your arrival. Wouldn't it be great to be able to document that? And be able to sense and know what God is doing and write that down. What a testimony for your little boys. What a testimony for your girls. What a testimony for your husband. What a testimony for the people you work with. What a testimony it is that you can look back on years and years and years and see what God has done in your life back then and what He's doing in your life right now. Pray without ceasing, sensing His presence and power in your life, moving you, comforting you, guiding you, and giving you a peace that passes all human understanding. Well, fifthly, we see praise. Notice verse 18 with me. In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Thank God for all things. Being thankful for the things around you. Being thankful for everything that's happening. I told Danielle, you know, this is so good. I'm so glad that you're here in the hospital. I would hate to have you be at home. And then every day, every other day, maybe twice a day, whatever, you got to run to the hospital. You're here. God has you where He wants you. And you are in the premier pregnancy center. Danielle, you can give thanks. She says, Dad, I do. I thank all my nurses. I give them thanks. I let them know how special they are. Some of those nurses, oh my goodness, they say that the little twins, and they're, what, 26, 28? 26 weeks tomorrow. She's going to 34. Oh, yeah. But they say that they're as active as children that are ready to be born. Yeah, they're ready to be born. They don't have any embryonic fluid. They're saying, let me out of here. They're moving all over the place. They're active. And they're also healthy. Praise the Lord. Give thanks for everything. That's what God wants in our lives, for us to be people that are thankful. You know, even the littlest things, to be thankful, to take the time to be serious with someone and to thank them for what they've done. That's the important things in life. That's why Paul is not able to be there and to teach them and to train them and to use himself as an example. That's why he's giving them these basic practices to live by, so that they can build a legacy in their lives, in their children's lives, in their families' lives, in their communities' lives, so that they can build a legacy. Today, as our worship team comes, we're going to have a song of invitation. This invitation is for you. Maybe you can see one of these or several of these that, well, they're just not as prevalent in our lives as we'd like. You can come and say, Lord, I just haven't been that patient, or I just haven't been that thoughtful and thankful. Lord, I've been walking through a valley, and I need your help, Lord. Because I know that you're doing a work in my life, and you want to work through me to build your kingdom. God, I give myself to you. Let's all stand. Maybe there's been a time in your life that you've never, ever accepted Christ as your personal Savior. Well, you need to come today and you need to simply say, God, forgive me. I'm a sinner and I accept you by faith. And right now I believe that Jesus died for me and rose again for my justification. You can come if you need to be saved. If you simply need to pray, maybe you need to pray for someone else. You come as we sing today.